Zelovan interviewing Jacob Rader Marcus at his home in Cincinnati, Ohio, on May 8, 1979, under the auspices of the Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women. Dr. Marcus, can you tell me the names of your father, your mother, and your siblings?
My father was Aaron Marcus. My mother was Jenny Rader Marcus, which I spell R-A-D-E-R. They're variations in the spelling. My oldest brother, who's dead and is buried in the Lichterschule's cemetery.
Is that B'nai Israel?
B'nai Israel. Was Isaac Marcus. And I am the second son. I am Jacob Rader Marcus. And I have a brother and a sister, younger, who are a twin.
Mm-hmm.
The brother's name is Frank Marcus. The sister's name is Ethel. Frank is well known in Squirrel Hill. He's Mr. Frank of Frank's Men's Store.
And I never knew it.
Yes.
I pass the store quite frequently.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell me where your father and mother came from, please?
My father and mother, my mother was born in a village in the province of Kovno, Lithuania, Tsaristic Russia. The town was unknown, is recorded on the map as Vidze, W-I-D-Z-Y.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my mother was born. My father was born in the environs,
mm-hmm,
on a large estate which my grandfather had leased, but it's within the immediate area of Vidze.
Is that any place near Slobodka?
No. Slobodka is across the river from the city of Kovno.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the exact distance, but Kovno is quite a distance.
I see. Can you tell me a little bit about the atmosphere in the ancestral home, the kind of home? I know you weren't there, but was it a very frum? Was it misnagid or Hasidic? Or
I do not know, for the simple reason that one of my grandparents switched from either being a chassid to a misnagid, or from being a misnagid and became a chassid. And I was definitely told by my parents that there was a terrific furor.
Mm-hmm.
And they may even have wanted to lynch him, according to what I hear. I suspect, but I do not know, that it was my maternal grandfather,
mm-hmm,
who switched from one to the other.
Are you in any way related to the late Dr. Joseph Rider, who was the
librarian
at Dropsy?
Probably the same name.
How old were your parents when they came to America? Did they come as single people?
They came as single people. They were married in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Father came in 1889. He was born in 65.
Yes.
So 75, 85, 95. He was 34 years of age. It's interesting. It was,
yes,
tough to think of it. My mother was born in 70.
Yes.
And I do not know exactly when she came. At the latest was in the early 90s, because she was married approximately in 92.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe when we met, you even told me where they were married and who was the officiating rabbi. Do you want to repeat it for the tape?
They were married by Zivitz.
Yes.
Rabbi Zivitz, the Orthodox rabbi. And they lived then on Marion Street or Marion Avenue downtown,
which is parallel to Pride Street, which is where, not far from where Duquesne University is now.
Way downtown?
Marion Street is parallel to Pride Street, unless there was another Marion Street in
those
days.
Another. This is not too far from Grant Street, right in the heart of the,
mm-hmm,
of the,
mm-hmm,
city.
There may be another Marion Street in those days. They've changed a lot of the street names.
Yeah.
And you don't know which synagogue it was. Rabbi Zivitz was the rabbi of a number of synagogues.
I haven't any idea where my father was affiliated.
The reason I ask this question
if
is because Rabbi Zivitz got smicha from Rabbi Yitzchok Chanan Spector. And he himself came from Grinkeshok. And I was just wondering if they were landslide and if this was one of the reasons that...
No.
Okay.
No.
Now, where were you born?
I was born in a village called New Haven on the Ocheyedy River, apparently March the 5th, 1896. So my father says, I'm not sure he's right. I'm sure he's right about the year. I was shocked to get some data on New Haven recently. My impression is this little village across the river from Connellsville, no longer in existence, by the way, it's part of now West Connellsville. I cough a lot.
That's right.
I was under the impression that there were only two or three Jews in town. Apparently, it was a peddler's center. Because Jacob Feldman of Sharpsville, if
yes,
you know him,
I know him quite well,
who works closely with me, discovered that there was a congregation, Orthodox Kehillah, in New Haven.
In New Haven. Very interesting.
And he has the data.
And I know that Jews lived in Connellsville all along, but they were usually
the
kind of attached to Uniontown. It's not too far from
Uniontown. Well, I wouldn't say that. Uniontown is 10, 15, 20 miles, and that's a long...
Oh,
in the
today with a car, it's right nearby. Now,
yeah,
in those days, it wasn't.
No.
And
you'd take me apparently an hour to go by streetcar from Homestead to Pittsburgh. Apparently, today you go in 5, 7, 8 minutes across
right,
the bridge.
That's correct. Can you tell me a little bit about the atmosphere at your home in New Haven in terms of the religious and economic
situation? I left
situation?
New Haven at age of four.
Yeah.
I have no recollection.
Well,
I have a dim recollection of one item, and which may or may not be imagined, but I don't think so. And it is that of my father returning from a peddling trip with a black horse. And that's all I recall.
Well, this gives me the clue to the next question, which was the economic circumstances. This, and you tell me now, your father was a peddler.
He was a peddler, peddled primarily in the coke ovens.
What kind of things did he sell?
I have a feeling he sold primarily men's suits. That's my general impression. No, clothing.
So you think your brother Frank kind of inherited the family
That's right.
skills?
Yes.
Okay. When your parents came to America, did they come straight to New York or to Boston or to Baltimore or to Philadelphia?
Mother went to New York and worked, I think in New York, though it may be in Pittsburgh. She worked in a factory, a garment factory, owned by people named Collins Oppenheimer. Collins Oppenheimer, I think that was New York. Or she...
Well, there was an Oppenheimer in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So I don't...
It may be
yes.
in Pittsburgh. I don't know. It's Parkland,
yes.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Had she trained for this work, or this was
no,
just something she learned?
My father, my grandfather on the maternal side, came to America. He was an unlicensed physician. He was not a felcher, if you know the distinction.
Yes,
of
I know what a felcher is, field surgeon.
Yeah, he was an unlicensed physician, settled on the east side, felt that this was no country for him. So he picked up, returned back to Vids, where he was a personality and a highly respected
What
person.
Was his name, please, for the record?
Isaiah
Rader.
Shia their doctor.
Shia their doctor.
And he returned, and he left his daughter, Jenny, in America. I'm rather, I wouldn't say amused, but I'm interested to reflect what went on in the mind of a man like that to leave a girl alone.
Well, weren't there any relatives, aunts, uncles, cousins?
Nothing as far as we know.
Maybe she simply refused to go back with him. In America, girls became independent.
I have no idea.
She had not yet met your father then, at that time.
No,
okay.
No.
In reading your biography, I noted that the family name had been Markelson.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you have any theories as to the meaning of the name or the origin of the name?
Well, Markle is probably a variation of Mordecai, but there are no Mordecais in the family. A lot of Aarons, slews of Aarons.
Do you have any theories about where the first Markelsons came from? Or let's say in the 18th century or thereabouts? No.
I know nothing about them.
Okay. And the same goes for the Raiders?
Same thing go for... No, I know something about the Raiders. I once asked my mother how far back she could go, and she knew of her maternal grandfather.
Yes.
Her maternal grandfather was Moshe der Eloi.
Oh, a great scholar then.
Yes. And I asked her, where did he come from? And she said, I think, my son, he came from Austria.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to Mother, never tell anybody that's the skeleton in the closet. Because an Austrian could only be a Galicianer.
And, yeah. Of course, as a Litvak, you had a certain attitude. I see.
We didn't finish the question as to what my father did when he came to New York. You're not ready for that yet, are you?
I'm ready. You just carry on.
My father landed in New York. He had served the Russian government in the army for almost 5 years. He was a sharpshooter.
Mm.
He was in the Grenadiers and was stationed in Tiflis. He was paid 45 pennies or kopecas a month. All these things I recall. And the cap kept his 45 kopecas. He didn't turn it over to him. So my father managed to survive by trading in the shuk or the market in Tiflis.
Mm-hmm.
Grenadiers were tall people. My father must have been at least 6 foot.
Yes, you're very tall.
My father must have been at least 6 foot. Came over here and I think he had a watch given him by the government as a sharpshooter. And he had two or three jobs here. He worked for a while in a brick factory, and the work was too hard.
In New York?
New York, making bricks. He had bricks in a wheelbarrow.
Mm-hmm.
It was too hard for him. He was a powerful man. Then he worked for a butter baker, worked long, interminable hours. It may have been Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
My father worked for Mayor London Matzes when he came to America.
Uh-huh. Then my father determined to learn to be an operator.
On a sewing machine.
Sewing machine, yes. And he, somehow or other, he learned or paid to learn. And one of the first jobs he did, he sewed either two right or two left arms on one coat. And he was fired. Next thing while he was in New York, he also attended night school.
Yes.
And he managed to, in later years, always to write a English letter phonetically. It was quite phonetic.
He picked up some English then.
Yes.
Yes. Do you have any idea of why he came to Western Pennsylvania?
We'll get to that.
Okay. Do you know if your father continued being an observant Jew in New York?
I'm positive he did.
Okay.
He always wanted to be an observant Jew. And when he was not observant, it was because it was difficult or impossible.
Did he receive a basic education, a cheder education, or more?
There was no cheder, but my father's family were, relatively speaking, wealthy.
Yes. So they had private melamdim?
That I don't know. Probably, because there were a lot of boys in the family.
Uh-huh.
They leased an estate. The estate is still there when I went to visit them.
Really?
A generation later. It was called Podgorica.
Did any of the people remember your family?
No.
Any of the local people? No.
Nobody knew my family.
Maybe they didn't want to know.
Oh, no. My grandfather in Vids was a man of distinction, probably one of the outstanding Jews in town. And
by that I meant since they had possibly collaborated with the Nazis in wiping out the Jews, maybe that's why they didn't
want to. Before that.
Oh, I see. You're dealing now with the 1920s, before the rise of Hitler.
I visited.
I see.
The home estate in 1937.
Uh-huh.
That was 2 years before the war.
But there were no Jews left?
Oh, yeah. The whole town was there.
Oh, the whole town, but
the cemetery was there.
And you found graves of your family?
I looked, but for the time allotted, I couldn't find it. The cemetery was neglected.
Mm-hmm.
I gave them some money, which they asked for. They said they would look around, clean up. Whether they did or not, I don't know.
I see.
The entire community was there, intact. Incidentally, there was, for many years, a Landsmannschaft from this village in New York City.
Uh-huh. The Witzelverein or society,
yes,
or whatever.
That's right.
I see. And then your father, when in America, he studied how to be an operator.
He was an operator, and he was fired. And I don't know what motivated him to move to West Virginia, to
Western Pennsylvania.
Western Pennsylvania. But he got a basket of notions,
mm-hmm.
and he peddled his way by walking all the way from New York west to Pittsburgh. And he was frequently stopped, and he said he didn't know any English, and I guess he pretended not to be a peddler. He had no license.
Mm-hmm.
He managed to get to New York. He begged to get to Pittsburgh.
He may have had some landslide, do you think, possibly in Pittsburgh?
Because
no. There were a lot of Litvaks there.
Yes, that's what Feldman's pointed out. It's a Litvak, early Litvak center going back to 1860s.
Well, Alexander Finke of Vilna was there in 1850.
Maybe. What's the name has material on it?
Yes.
That was the ship's cart man?
No, I don't know if Alex Finke was. He's the one that afterwards they called Tree of Life Finke's Shul after him.
Yes.
And he's an ancestor of Tilly Speyer. I mean, his family intermarried with the German Jewish families, and so.
Who's Tilly Speyer?
Tilly Speyer is a woman who recently won an award for sculpture in Pittsburgh. She's in her, I guess, about 80 years old.
Nice person.
Yes. Well, I think he was a great uncle of hers, and she is also descended from the Oppenheimers. You see, the Finks and the Sunsteins, who are also they're all kind of married in.
I've met Sunsteins.
I'm just wondering because I keep running into all these Litvaks scattered over Western Pennsylvania, and it's rather interesting.
Feldman said it's a Litvak center.
Yeah. Maybe somebody your father met in New York told him it's a good place to peddle.
Never mentioned anything to him.
Never mentioned it. Okay, and then he married your mother on Marion Street.
He married my mother.
Do you have any stories about how he met her or courted her?
Yes, it was an arranged marriage. Rather, I put it this way, that there was, and this is the family that may have brought them. I'm now extrapolating.
Yes.
There was a family named Jacobson in Pittsburgh. They were in the picture framing business for
many years. They still are.
Yeah.
That's the best picture framers in the city. Very well known.
They're old timers.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jacobsons may have come from Vids.
I see.
I'm still in touch with Alvin Jacobson.
How lovely.
Who you know?
No, but I know the name because it's the most prominent name when you want to have
a
picture
Alvin
framed.
Alvin Jacobson is a veteran of either Korean War or World War II. And is 100% disability.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But he ran for governor of Pennsylvania and garnered 92,000 votes.
When was this?
Well, about 3-4 years ago.
Don't even remember that. That's very interesting. So.
And now he's running for presidency of the United States.
On what party? His own?
His own party.
Well, a lot of gumption.
He got a lot of gumption, yes. He'll garner some votes.
Yes.
So that is probably the link.
Yes. It only takes one landsman.
Yes. And they induced my mother, maybe she was working for Oppenheimer in Pittsburgh, to marry this man from Vids.
Mm-hmm.
She was a city gal,
mm-hmm.
and he was a country yokel. It wasn't a particularly good match.
Well, you're a result of it, so it succeeded in some ways.
In that respect, yeah.
And then from the metropolis of Pittsburgh, they wended their way south?
Not so far, not so fast. My father had no intention to peddle. He was not a peddler.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a businessman. He was a farmer.
Uh-huh.
And he was a skilled farmer. They had employed at Podvarinka at least 35 families.
Oh, really?
It was a huge estate.
So he was an estate manager. He knew all
Wasn't
about
he,
these things.
His father was. There were about a half a dozen boys.
But he knew agriculture.
He knew how to be a farmer and how to run a farm, milk cows, and he knew everything. To plant and sow. Father got a job at a machine shop. And after he worked there a while, the boss came to him and said, I guess you're going to quit, Marcus. And my father turned to the boss with a relatively small machine shop. He said, Mr. Westinghouse, are you firing me?
Oh, I love that story, Mr. Westinghouse.
And he said, no, I'm not firing you because you're a Jew. You'll open a clothing store. Westinghouse told him. Well, he worked for him until the depression of 92.
Uh-huh.
That was bad.
Yes.
Then either before that he went to Westinghouse, or after he went to Westinghouse, he worked in one of the steel mills.
Really? That's interesting.
And he was a very ambitious man. He wanted to learn how to run an overhead crane. And while the men knocked off for lunch, he got up in the, climbed up into the crane and started to mess around with the machinery and almost ruined the machinery. I think he got fired for that.
Yes, I see.
Then when the Depression hit and the mills closed down and Westinghouse closed down.
Well, 1892 was the date of the Homestead Massacre.
Yes, that's right.
Big strike, lockout.
Right. Yes, sure. I know that. Then the Pinkertons came there. Came up City Farm Lane because my father had a store there. Then father became a peddler with tinware.
Yeah.
And as he peddled around, he must have heard that New Hay was a good place to settle and to work in the coke ovens where there are Slavs whose languages he spoke.
I see.
Since he had served in the army, he knew Russian and he knew Polish.
Lithuanian too?
No Lithuanian. He knew Russian, knew Polish, and he could probably speak Czechish. We are closely allied. Because his father was never at a loss speaking the languages
Well,
of these
I've
people.
Discovered that in Western Pennsylvania, a new language was born called Slavish, which used the features of all of these different Slavic languages. A woman I know is doing research on this, a new fusion language which fuses the common elements of all of these Slavic languages which people used that came from different places.
That's what my father spoke.
Slavish.
Because I always thought the Slavish was a language, so I figured it was Slavonian.
That's what I thought too until I heard about this project.
Well, he spoke Slavish, but he also spoke Russian.
Oh, sure.
Russian is different. It's quite different.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 5 years in the army.
And you were born in New Haven, and your older brother was born?
Just a minute. So father got married. He must have got married in 92, because my older brother was born in 94.
Is there a way of tracing the record in Pittsburgh? You know, in other words, if I were to go, let's say, to the registry and so on and look,
I imagine it could be traced. And now the 1900 censuses are available.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know in 1900 whether father was in New Haven or already moved to Homestead.
Mm-hmm.
So he settled in Homestead in New Haven, and when he settled, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Since I was born there, I suspect he must have settled there before 96, about 95.
Were you delivered by a midwife?
I'm sure. No physicians.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was still messing around with midwives when I was growing up, because she had miscarriage and she had a midwife. She also had a physician.
And you say you were 4 years old when you left New Haven. Where did you move to?
We moved to Homestead.
Where did you live in Homestead? Do you remember the name of the street?
We don't know the name of the street. It wasn't too far from the Monongahela. It was pretty close to the river.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to the Road of Sholem of Homestead? Was there a Road of Sholem of Homestead then? The Orthodox shul?
My father was an active member, very active, and I went to the cheder there.
It's still an Orthodox shul, you know.
I didn't know that.
Yes, it's still in existence and it's still Orthodox.
And I remember the name of the Rebbe, or the Chazan, was a, we have two of them. One was a, I don't know, there was a Mendelssohn, and the other was a Newman. Both people of some culture and intelligence, and who knew some of the amenities. Both were, I think, were Shochtim, I'm not sure.
In Homestead, you're
in
talking
Homestead.
About. And how old were you about this time, you think?
Well, I would have to, I lived in Homestead from the age of 4 to the age of 11, 7 years.
Those are very important, crucial years because I remember that age too. In reading your biography, you mentioned that you also went to Sunday school in Pittsburgh.
Later.
That was later.
All later.
So while you were in Homestead, you went to public school?
Went to public school. First in Homestead, and around 1906 or 7, the family moved to Munhall across the street.
Yeah.
And we had better quarters, but We had quarters above a store. Father had two stores. He was relatively successful.
Continuing our interview, you started telling me about your education in Homestead, the school you went to, and then you moved to Munn Hall, you went to elementary school. When did you start going to Sunday school across the river?
Well, not so fast. I went to the Homestead Public Schools, then I went to the Munn Hall Public Schools. Munn Hall Public School, and this I've often thought about, is it working?
Yes, it's working, but I was just thinking for the benefit of those people who don't know the difference between Homestead and Munn Hall to explain that Homestead...
Munn Hall was a separate borough and was across the street.
Yes, but Homestead is a separate municipality.
Yes.
It's not part of Pittsburgh.
It's like crossing a street and you're in a different town.
That's right.
There were required readings every morning, or you listened every morning to the New Testament
mm-hmm.
readings.
Mm-hmm.
That was characteristic of that generation. And I learned a lot of New Testament, which has stood me in good stead, both in my writing and in my research. I had a good knowledge of the New Testament, almost as well as I did of the Old Testament. And I taught the Old Testament here later for 15, 20, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now you asked a question. Well, let me proceed chronologically. That's why it's much better that way. My father made money and got ambitious. 1907, there was a brief depression, or conditions weren't good, business wasn't so good, and he thought he would spread himself. He moved to Pittsburgh, and he bought a small department store on the south side, Carson Street.
That's
somewhere around 13th Street.
That's exactly where the Kaufman brothers had their store, no?
They're up around 20th, I think.
I see.
This was around 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were up near the Jones Laughlin Mills.
Yeah, I know exactly where it is, yes. I've been there recently.
It was the 22nd or 20th?
They are reviving it now. They're calling it Birmingham, and they're redoing the station.
It was known as Birmingham in my day also, even as North Pittsburgh was known as Allegheny City.
Mm-hmm.
And there my father opened a small department store, but failed very speedily. We lost everything, broke. Now, while we were there, father sent me to Beth Midrash HaGadol on Washington Avenue,
yes.
Rabbi Aaron Ashinsky.
Yeah.
And there I went to Sunday school, and my teacher was the daughter of Barney Davis.
Frieda.
Frieda Davis.
Later became Frieda Davis Sigmund.
And she was a college graduate
mm-hmm.
and was an able person. In the class with me was a boy named Saul Feinberg.
Yes.
Later on worked for the American Jewish Committee and became a rabbi and was a classmate of mine.
Was he a brother of the other Feinbergs? There's a big Feinberg clan?
No.
This is a separate Feinberg. Okay.
Separate Feinberg. He had brothers, and it was a large clan, but it's not a...
Not Herman Feinberg.
No.
Okay.
And there was also a Steinberg there, I guess, in my class, whose family were in the real estate business later,
mm-hmm.
quite successful. Because I had to contact these people through the years.
Did you just have this one teacher, Miss Davis?
That's
well, she
all
made
I
the
had,
impression on you.
Because we didn't live there for much more than a year, year and a half.
You know that her mother is considered the founder of Montefiore Hospital.
That I didn't know.
Her mother is
I know
considered
that
the
Barney,
founder.
Barney Davis was a successful diamond merchant.
Yes. His son, Jacob, is still in the business.
Still alive.
Yes.
He had also a son, Alan Davis,
yes.
who went to Harvard and taught English there for a brief period.
And then taught at Pitt, too.
He taught at Pitt, and he died early.
Yes.
And
there were 11 children in the Davis family.
I didn't know. And the son wrote a play, a Zionist play,
yes.
that was produced at Harvard, and all the actors were Gentiles.
That I didn't know. That's very interesting. I'm very friendly with Sarah, who is a sister of Frieda's.
Still alive.
Oh, yes.
Sarah
Davis Abrams. And they're all associated with B'nai Israel because their parents were among the founders of B'nai
yes.
Israel.
So, and I enjoyed that tremendously.
Yes.
I remember we had a Hanukkah party. My brother spoke, and I spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And Shinsky spoke, and he spoke from the Bema.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to walk there and walk back.
Across the bridge?
Across the bridge. It was quite a walk, nevertheless.
Which bridge did you use?
10th Street Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
We had to walk from 13th down to 10th Street and cross and climb up over the bluff
that
to get to
Washington. That was quite a walk.
Quite a walk. And I would accompany my father to Fifth Avenue in all of his buying tours.
Uh-huh, because that
and
was the...
And Pittsburgh was lined...
The wholesale district,
the wholesale
sure.
district. Clothing family, Finkelhor... And Abel's.
Well, there's Judge Marion Finkelhor, you know.
I wouldn't know that. I only know my generation.
Okay, but these names repeat themselves. They have
and
to remain
York,
Pittsburgh names.
And the New York Hat Company, Hat and Cap Company.
Yeah.
I've forgotten the man named Maitland. He was an anarchist. And my father loved the man personally, but my father was very conservative. He thought that anarchists and socialists were very
what
bad.
What year are we talking about now?
1907.
All of these memories are from 1907.
1907. Then my father became bankrupt and he left and he went to West Virginia and he left us there for about 3 months and he boarded us with a man who sold secondhand furniture so that we should stay and finish our school year.
I see.